to be here with you. Isn't it great just to be able to worship God together as a family? I'm just excited to be here with you after having to take a couple weeks off again for some health issues. I just love being able to participate here with our church family. And again, I just really was sensing as the Holy Spirit speaking to me as we were worshiping today, that one of the things, this word that I'll talk about here in a little bit, is just that we would just take a breath, that we would breathe. Just breathe in the goodness of God. I know there's lots of things that are happening. Things are kind of moving fast all around us. In fact, today I'm going to be talking about just a few things as we dive into the Word of God today. It's called How to Find Rest in the Midst of Transitions, because a lot of things are changing. And part of that is I'm excited in a couple weeks we'll be able to have a church picnic here. I hope you're excited about that. So bring your friends, your food, your family, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to provide hot dogs for everybody, but it's going to be a great time for us just to be able to celebrate just being together. And as well today is graduation Sunday. And again, this is a time where we just celebrate those that are moving from one part of their journey in school, whether it's from kindergarten to grade one, or it's grade nine into high school. But especially today, we want to recognize those who have graduated from high school or college. Let's give them a hand today. We're just so proud of them. You know what? It's been a tough season, but they have done it. They have overcome. Their story is going to be like no other. They're going to have stories to share about. You remember back when we graduated during that COVID season? It's going to be awesome, awesome to do that. Well, I believe this as I begin to dive into this. And by the way, my name is Pastor Todd, along with my wife, Jan. We're the lead pastors here at Eastside City Church. And for those who are online, we are glad that you're with us as well as those who are here. But I want to start off by saying this. Whether we recognize it or not, whether we're ready or not, we are all in a season of transition. And that is a place of moving from one season of life or one place in life to a different season. But we're in that in-between, because here's what a transition literally is from the Webster's Dictionary. It says this: it's a change or shift from one state, subject, place, etc., to another. And so the best way I can probably explain this is that for those who are sports fans, it's the between time of when you go from offense to defense or defense to offense, that there's that transition period that you're moving in one direction, and all of a sudden now you've got to move in another direction. In fact, for those that are hockey or basketball fans, those teams that can transition better than the other teams usually are the ones that are victorious, that can make the changes, that can adjust as they go into those in-between places. In our careers, it can be that awkward time when we move from a current job or position to that we know, that we've been comfortable with, that we've lived with, to something new or unfamiliar or unknown. There's always a way that they would say when somebody takes a new job or a new position, there's a transition period. It's that you are in a place that you're not where you were before, but you're not quite fully immersed in what you're doing. Or in COVID, we would say it's the time between being at home to integrating with people. We're all in different places there, but we are beginning to transition out of it. But here's what my favorite picture is, and I want to share this with you today. We're going to park on this for a minute. It's the time in pregnancy when a woman goes from carrying a child to actually the birthing of a child. You see, for 9 months, there's been this wait, this big, okay, when is it going to happen? And all of a sudden now, the labor pains hit, things begin to happen, and I'm just speaking from my wife's experiences here. You've got to understand, this isn't my own personal things. And all of a sudden, things are moving, but the child has not yet arrived. It's called the time of transition. And I will still never forget the memories of the birth of my first daughter, Lindsay, over 20 years ago. Wow, it seems like such a, it was just yesterday in my mind. But I remember my wife giving birth to our first child, that she had carried our daughter for the full 9 months, and we now knew it was time for a change. For my wife, sleep was no longer great. It was very challenging. Walking was not fun. Breathing seemed to be difficult. And so being pregnant was no longer cute or adorable. It was just time to, let's get on with what's got to be gotten on with. Now, I say this, it would have been nice. It would have been very nice if we could have made a 30-minute appointment at the hospital and we could have walked out of the hospital with our healthy, beautiful daughter. But you know, that's not how it works. Transitions don't work that way, especially in childbirth. You see, when the labor pain started, I knew that change was in the air. You see, my wife went into labor at 3 o'clock in the morning. I went from a sound sleep. Life was good for me. To all of a sudden, it was running around, grabbing the blankets, grabbing the hospital bag, getting everything loaded into the car. Thankfully, I didn't forget my wife. So I've heard of people that have done that. They've driven off. And men, we kind of lose our minds in those moments. And so things were happening. We were now in the transition or birthing process. And my sweet and calm and wonderful and beautiful wife was now a bit more intense. As the pain escalated with each contraction, she seemed to blame me for more and more things in her current state. I was no longer her friend. I somehow seemed to be the enemy in those moments. And it was so challenging and difficult for me to see her uncomfortable. In fact, as I shared before, I'm not proud of this moment. I'm not proud of these things in my life. And I'm sharing it with you because no doubt if you talk to my wife one day, she'll probably share it with you that as she went into labor, I almost passed out in the hospital. And it required that the medical people paid attention to me and not her. It was not a great moment in my life. And there were moments in this process, in that time, in those hours of labor that it felt like it would just go on and on forever. But then as quickly as it all begun, it was over and our precious little girl was with us. It was almost hard to imagine what my wife had experienced before as the incredible bundle of cuteness was now part of our lives. Now, pain was not forgotten. I don't think it could be. But the joy and celebration of a new life made it all worth it. And what seemed like an eternity would never happen was now complete. You see, when we talk about transitions, transitions are moving to something that we've known to things that we do not know. It's things that we can't predict. We don't fully know how things are going to be. We just know that we can't stay where we're at any longer. It's the place of being in between. Like the birthing of a child, many times it can feel awkward and unfamiliar. Or a bit uncomfortable and really many times uneasy. And when you're in a place of transition, it can feel like it's going to be that way forever. But I want to encourage you today, ready or not, it will all eventually change. Because one of the things that we know about life is the one thing that is constant is change. Things are changing. Things are moving. People are moving forward. Transitions are not easy, but are absolutely necessary. See, for most of us, I believe we're experiencing a season of transition right now. And for some, things are changing very quickly. It can almost feel like it's happening so fast, but there are others. And I know I've talked to you that the changes in your life or the changes in this season, they're just not happening fast enough. Now, for our graduates, I want to say this again today. It's a time we get to celebrate you, celebrate your accomplishments. But it's also a time for you to ask this question, well, then what next? Because you can't go back to where you were. It would be kind of strange, wouldn't it, if all of a sudden September rolls around, you had your graduation ceremony for grade 12, and you show up for classes the first day. People would say, that's really weird. Why are you back here? Well, what are you doing, you know? But for us, I remember that time. That's what you know. You've, for the last 12 to 14 years, and for university students, it's even longer. You just, that's what you know. It's what you do. And now all of a sudden, you're not doing it anymore. And yet, you recognize the school. It's familiar to you, but you know that it's not your place any longer. I remember driving by my high school after I graduated. I could see people. I kind of knew them, but I knew that I wasn't just allowed to walk in there and hang out. There are transitions that we're experiencing now with COVID. Things are opening up quickly. And we're not sure what to do, maybe, and when to do it. You know, I know just because the date says this, the government says, maybe you're not quite ready for it. Maybe you've been ready for a year. You're just like, what do we do? When do we meet with people again? When do we say that's okay? Do we keep the mask? Do we burn the mask? How do we handle the mask? And change is happening quickly, whether we're ready or not. And I also believe this. I feel that change is in the air for the church. That the church is in a season of transition. God is about to do, I believe this with all my heart, something spectacular. God is up to something. And I don't quite know what it is. I just know that where we were before all of this is not where we're going to be. But God is taking us to somewhere new, and it's different, and it's a time of transition. Because life will never be the same again. I hate to say that to some of you. Some of you are like, darn, I was hoping it would just go back to the way it was. And it's easy in these moments to feel stuck in the in-between. It can create anxiety and even tension that does not allow us to rest. We begin to wonder and worry if everything will be okay, or is this really the beginning of the end of time? But I want to say this today. God knows what's going on. God's not surprised by what is happening. And I want to say this as well. God is for you. And God has good things for you, his people. Even in this season of transition, God is for you. And today I want to, as we continue this discussion, this talk, our series, Give It a Rest, I want to talk about finding rest in the midst of transition. Another title that might be more relatable, especially today when it's almost 40 degrees outside, is how to keep your cool in the midst of change. Wow, that's maybe where I should have gone today. Because it's really warm in here right now. Change is one of the constants of life. Whether we like it or not, change is happening and it will continue to happen. In fact, as I grow older, I feel that change just feels like it happens more quickly. Now, there are many stories in the Bible that demonstrate men and women that were caught in the middle of transition seasons, or they were in transitions. We know the story about Joseph, who was given a dream at a young age, but he found himself in prison when he was promised the throne. Paul, on the road to Damascus, he had great plans of just ridding the world of the church. He wanted to punish Christians, imprison Christians, persecute Christians. And all of a sudden, he has an experience where he encounters God. And he was blinded, listen to this, in his place of transition until he could see the truth. Abraham, awaiting the birth of Isaac. Well, why is that important? Well, he's promised over and over again that he was going to become a mighty nation. But yet, there were no offspring. He had no children. And here's what I want to focus on today, the story about David, who was anointed as the king of Israel as a young man, but for many years was not able to be the king. He was stuck in this place of, well, where I've been given this calling, but yet it hasn't come to fruition. And many of us, I think, can relate to this. You know, there's a lot that we can say about David. The Bible talks a lot about him. He was one of God's kind of chosen people. It said he was the apple of God's eye. There's a lot of the Old Testament that has stories about his life, and as well as the New Testament mentions King David and his heart for God. And there's stories that many of us probably know from his childhood. David slays the Philistine giant Goliath. That was an amazing thing. We hear about that story. But then there's also stories about him when he was king, how he conquered nations, built cities, and the nation of Israel prospered. But the story, or the part of the story I want to focus on today, was when he was in that place of transition. He had been anointed king of Israel, yet he was not serving as the king of Israel. In fact, his time of transition, when you study the Word of God, lasted almost 15 years. Who would say that's a long transition period? I'm hoping that what I'm going through in my life isn't going to be a 15-year journey. I can't promise you anything because I'm not in control of those things. But you see, David was anointed king at a young age by the prophet Samuel. In fact, what was kind of interesting about his story was that he was anointed and he was the youngest of all of his brothers. That's kind of broke precedence of how things were done in biblical times. Usually it was the oldest, it was the son, oldest son that would become the, the next ruler of the family, the household, and of the kingdom. But that's not what God did. At a young age, David, as the youngest of his brothers, was anointed to be king. But it was an awkward and uncomfortable moment for a variety of reasons. First of all, there was already a king that was sitting on the throne of Israel. His name was Saul. You know, he was the established ruler of Israel. Normally, the next king is not named before the previous king is dead. That's not how it usually happens. But yet, David was anointed king while Saul was still alive. And secondly, I think this is what made it even more uncomfortable, and what I'm going to focus on here, was that Saul was aware that David was going to be the next king and hated him for it. You know, it's not good for your career for the person you are replacing to know that you are replacing them. I don't know if you've ever been in a job where you're like training your replacement, if you've ever had that painful experience. And especially for kings, it usually wasn't a great career move because they tended to take it a little bit personally, and they usually like killed people and removed people that anybody that was their rival. And because Saul hated David, we begin to see that he was searching for him in an effort to destroy him. And I want to say this because places of transition, you need to hear this, are not usually easy. They can become places where we make choices that are not based on God's will, but out of our desire to find relief from what is uncomfortable or awkward. And I believe that David was in an awkward place of transition where he knew what he was called to do, but was powerless to do anything about it. And in the process of Saul chasing him, he became weary and tired because the threat of death and destruction was all around him. And in that moment, I believe he made a decision that was not part of God's will. He was listening to the weariness instead of reaching out to God. And when we're weary, we don't always make great decisions. Would you agree with that? When we get tired, we get worn down. So here's where we want to pick up in 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. I want to pick up in this story, and we're going to go from here. And here's what it says in 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. But David kept thinking to himself, someday Saul is going to get me. The best thing I can do is escape to the Philistines. Then Saul will stop hunting for me in Israelite territory, and I will finally be safe. So David took his 600 men and went and joined Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. What's interesting here is I believe that anxiety, we saw that in our pre-scroll scripture about God, you know, that we're to give our anxiety to him, because living in anxiety usually leads us to make poor decisions. The Bible says this. I love this statement here in the New Living Translation. It says this about David. He kept thinking to himself. Now, one of the things I've learned in life as a man of God, that somebody that just in our nature, it's not good for a man to be alone with his thoughts. We tend to come up with all sorts of crazy ideas when we're alone. There's a reason that the Bible says that in Genesis, in the beginning, that it was not good for man to be alone. It wasn't just because of the fact that he was physically alone, but I believe that it wasn't good for him to be alone. It wasn't good for Adam to be alone with just his own thoughts. Have you ever noticed many times that the thoughts that repeat themselves in our minds and hearts are not always the best thoughts? Have you ever got into something where you began to just play certain things over and over again? You're going through a difficult time, you're involved in a difficult situation, and all of a sudden you begin to start thinking things, you begin to start scheming things, you begin to start even maybe planning things. Well, if this would just go away, or maybe if I just did this, or maybe I should choose to go here, or maybe I should leave this situation and move on to the next one, or maybe this relationship isn't good, so I'm going to pursue another relationship. There's all sorts of things that we can begin to play in our mind, and I think the Bible emphasizes this for a reason. It says that he kept thinking to himself that he needed to escape Saul and the Israelite territory. You see, the thoughts that go on repeat usually, in my opinion, are not God thoughts. But when we replay them enough times, we can begin to convince ourselves in the midst of these challenges or these transition moments that this is the right decision for me. And we convince ourselves that it's the right, but many times those desires to remove the awkward, the uncomfortable, and the painful do not necessarily mean that it's part of God's plan. Because I believe this, God doesn't usually want to take us away from things. He wants to help us walk through things. He wants us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but fear no evil. Can I hear an amen to that? He wants us to be able to walk through to the other side. Why? Because it will show his hand and his grace and his mercy on our lives as we walk through things. But as human beings, our desire is to remove ourselves from stuff because we think that's the best way. We try to escape it. So how do I know it wasn't God's plan? Again, as you read the scriptures around the Bible, or around this story, David never asked God, what should he do? It's, he thought to himself. He talked to himself. He thought to himself. You read in other accounts of kings and leaders and prophets. You'll hear there are times that it says that they sought the Lord, should I go to battle? They sought the Lord, should I go? And the Lord revealed this yes or no. But David didn't do that in this situation. But here's secondly how I know it was not God's decision. Listen to this. Not only did he try to remove himself from the situation, he jumps to the enemy's camp. The Philistines. Goliath, who he had killed as a young man, the sworn enemy of Israel. All of a sudden, David, in his place of weariness, in his place of trying to remove himself from this, what does he do? He jumps over to not just anybody, but to the enemy. Somehow he convinced himself that was a good idea. And he began to serve the king of Gath, one of the Philistine rulers, a sworn enemy of Israel. And not only that, you will see if you read in between, because I'm going to go to chapter 30 here in a minute, between 27 to 30, you see that not only did David go and join the king of one of the kings of the Philistines, he actually was ready to go to battle against Israel, the country, the nation he was called to be king of. He was going to destroy his own people. See, it's important when we're in awkward and uncomfortable places that we do not align ourselves, listen to this, to the wrong partners or those things that are enemies to our souls, bad relationships, food, drugs, or other addictive substances, things that we turn to, anti-God ways of thinking. You see, because the enemy is going to, he just is constant. He'll put that pressure on you. And here's the truth. The things we hope that will make the pain and the discomfort stop usually end up making our life more miserable. And that's exactly what happened to David. He had chosen to go join the king of Gath to fight against the Israelites. And when he arrived there, the rest of the kings of the Philistines said to Gath, what are you thinking about? He's an Israelite. Have you not heard the stories about him? Saul destroyed his thousands. David's going to destroy his 10,000s. The kings are saying to each other, do you know who they're talking about there? That's us. This guy can't fight for you. And so they sent him home. And this is what happened in 1 Samuel chapter 30 when he went back to his home. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag, and they had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and the children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began talk of stoning him. But I love this last sentence. But David found strength in the Lord his God. And I'm going to come back to this in just a second because this is so important. You see, David made a really bad decision, and he went down into things that I bet if he were to think about it, he wouldn't have imagined he would have been there. He made some bad choices, and so all of a sudden it got to the place where he was also not just removing himself from, he was siding with the enemy. He was ready to go against what I believe God decided. And in this process, he ended up returning to a mess. His children, his wife, his livestock, they were all taken from him. And his town that he lived in had been burned to the ground. And everything that was important to him was gone in that moment. You see, when we make our own way, it usually leads to loss or greater pain. But here's the truth, that going through pain of transition, though it seems counterintuitive, it is part, many times, of God's process for our lives. And I want to say this about David. I think that was really a bad day, that he had had a pretty bad day there. But here's what I love about this story, is it says, but David found his strength in the Lord his God. You see, God, by his grace, preserved his wife and his children and his livestock. Because we serve a God who has great grace and mercy over our lives. I believe it was a New Testament vision of how God was going to operate through Jesus. Amen. And because of his greatness and his mercy, God preserved things. And I'm thankful, you know, there are many times that I've been in processes that I've removed myself when I shouldn't have. I know that even in my own life, I've failed many times, but I'm thankful for the goodness and grace and mercy of God. We need the goodness, the grace, the mercy of God in our lives. And I speak that over many of you. Some of you are in some places you know that you shouldn't be, but I'm here to declare today God's grace and his mercy is here for you. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't face some pain, but God's grace and his mercy is here for you. So the question is, how do we find rest in the midst of these transitions? I want to come back to this, and I'm going to finish with this here. I've got three things I want to share with you. We do what David ended up doing. David eventually got it right. It says that he found strength in the Lord as God. He turned to the Lord as God. He began to lean on God, or as we'll say today, he leaned on Jesus. I remember when I was learning how to dive. I remember that what the teacher told me. I remember going to the pool. I was on the side of the pool, and they said, so if you're going to dive into the water, you need to tuck your head and lean forward. Now, that seemed very counterintuitive. How do I dive into this water if I can't see what I'm doing? But the reality was, if you looked to see where you're going, what would you end up doing? It would be one of those things. Who here has had a good belly flop in your life maybe once or twice? You know, everybody else thinks it's funny but you. You don't ever like, oh, that was awesome. It hurts. But if you want to go into the water, you have to trust and lean forward. So in order for us to find rest in our transitions, we need to learn how to lean into the good things that God has for us. We have to lean into Jesus. We have to lean into healthy people, healthy relationships. That's why we have our church community. That's why we have small groups. We need to lean into Bible-based thinking, the Word of God. That's what is immovable. But most importantly, we need to learn to lean into Jesus. I believe that the key to finding rest in the midst of transition is learning how to lean to God instead of our own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I love this. Listen, what does it say? Depend not on your own understanding. Other translations, lean not on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you the path to take. Amen. Who would agree with me? There's sometimes danger in our own understanding. Why? Because it's imperfect. It's limited. We can't see the whole picture. The more I've walked through changes, I've learned that not everything can be understood at least initially or in that moment. So when I'm in transition, there are things that probably are going on around me that I'm not able to understand. And can I say it this way, that in this moment, God didn't mean for you to understand it. You see, because those areas that we can't see and we don't know and we don't understand become faith-building and growing moments. And we're called to be people that walk by faith. If we could see and understand everything, we wouldn't need faith. We wouldn't need God. But here's the great point. When I understand that and I learn to walk and I learn to let go of the things that I don't understand or I can't know or don't make sense to me, when I really learn to let go of them, it becomes freeing and liberating for my heart, my mind, and my spirit. And many years later, then sometimes you go, hey, now I get it. That's what God was up to. Oh, God, you moved me out of that job that I thought was great. I didn't want to leave that place. I would have never done it myself, but you allowed it to happen. Thank you, Jesus. Or God, you changed this situation. Here's the second thing that I believe we need to do if we want to find rest in the midst of transitions, is we got to learn not only how to lean into Jesus, we got to learn how to look for Jesus, to see Jesus. Because one of the things that I know, when our life feels like it's chaotic, many times we begin to focus on all of the things that are swirling around us. The negatives, the loss, the frustration, the change, the things we don't know. And if we're not careful, we can begin to declare the negative things or the things that we don't know, and we begin to talk about that, and it becomes our focal point. And yet, Jesus saying, look for me. Those who search for me will find me. You see, it can feel like things are spinning out of control. Who here has ever experienced vertigo in your life? It's horrible. It's something I'll never forget, where everything just seems to spin. Well, what do you do when you're in those moments? You try to find something, if you can, and you're not too deep into it, that doesn't move. You try to look for that thing that is an anchor. I believe the anchor that we're called to look towards, to look for, is to look to what is Jesus doing. Where is Jesus in this? What is he trying to show me? How could this be working? What is he working on in my life? Where are those things that he's doing? Help me to see him. When you learn to focus on Jesus, listen to this, I believe you'll begin to see Jesus. I'm going to say that again. When you learn to focus on Jesus, you'll begin to see Jesus. I remember when we first received our Volkswagen Rutan van. It was a baby blue van. It was about 11 or 12 years ago that we got it. And what intrigued me is I never knew that Volkswagen made these types of vans, which later I found out it was really a Dodge Caravan with the Volkswagen label, because it was almost the same thing. But hey, it was unique. It was different. And it was a baby blue one. I'd never seen that before. I thought we had the only one in Calgary. But you know what was really strange? After I owned it for about a month, not only did I notice that there were more Volkswagen vans, I began to see that there were many more baby blue Volkswagen Rutan vans. Why? Because my eyes all of a sudden were aware of it. They were able to see them all around me. In fact, what was crazy, there was one that was in my same neighborhood. Why? Because my eyes were aware. I believe God's desire is that our eyes would become more aware of who Jesus is and what he does. I want to say this. I want to remind you today, Jesus loves you. Amen. Jesus is for you. Jesus has good intentions towards you. The uneasiness was not meant to harm you, but most likely to help you focus on him. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. And here's our last thing. I'm going to invite Margot to come up here. And I want to come back to giving birth and childbirth. Because I think one of the things that you have to do when you're in the midst of a transition is you've got to learn how to breathe. Any of you that have gone to Lamaze classes, baby classes, one of the things they try to teach the ladies is how to breathe, and for the husband, how to coach breathing. And you find out that when you get into labor that she doesn't want to hear what you have to say anymore about that subject. But the idea is that you got to learn how to breathe. You got to learn how to take a breath. Because when things get crazy, when things start spinning out of control, when things get a little bit, it's hard to breathe. And sometimes I even know my kids can be so upset. They can be angry when they're little, especially when they're little. What do you say to them sometimes? Breathe. Take a breath. Sometimes I think in life we have to step back and take a breath and breathe. Breathe in the goodness of God. Breathe in his peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand his peace, but we got to breathe it in. We do that by letting Jesus be Jesus and understanding that we just need to continue to trust him. Know that what is needed, what you don't understand, what you don't know, he will take care of it. Know that he will make the best decisions for you. There's nobody more trustworthy than Jesus. He doesn't make mistakes. So let him take care of the details. Let him do the heavy lifting. Why? Because then he will get all of the glory. What have I learned in this season of transitions? I've learned the church will not be the same. I think it will actually be better. I've learned this. People have strong opinions. But what I care most about is God's opinion. And I know this, and I know some may disagree with me. I know because I've gotten emails and stuff from people. I know that some people have wondered if we're doing the right things and how we handle this. But I can honestly say this, that in the integrity of my heart, I know that I've obeyed God and what he's asked me to do. Which is going to be most important now and going forward. That's what I commit to you, that my heart is to honor God and to listen to him. But I believe that we're going to do much more in these days ahead. I believe there's never been a greater time to reach people. I believe there's an opportunity as well for us to become greater influences in our society, in government, in education, in places. I believe God wants to raise us up to expect him to do more things in the midst of this, that he's transitioning us to things. I believe he's calling us to become triple threat Christians that see people saved, healed, and delivered. That we're called to reach our city, but also to be part of reaching the nations of the world. I believe we're on the greatest move of God that any of us have ever seen. I believe it with all my heart. But we're not there yet. We're in that place of where we were and where God is taking us. So what do we do to find rest in those places? We need to learn to lean into God. And trust by not leaning in our own understanding, but acknowledging him. We need to do what Jesus asked us to do, but then give him the rest. Let Jesus be Jesus. I'm going to say that more as we go forward. I believe there are people that are here today that you are experiencing uneasiness about life and where things are going. What do you do? How do you respond to everything? And I just feel like God is just reaching out to you, just saying, trust me. Lean into me. If you're not sure what to do, it's okay. There's a lot of things that we've been doing over this last 18 months. There's no manual for it. It was just, God, I don't know what to do, but let's just lean on you. God's just asking us to continue to stay in that state of mind. And maybe you're here today and you're struggling not only to trust yourself, but maybe to trust God. I believe God wants to help you. I believe he wants to give rest to your heart, rest to your spirit. He wants you to take a deep breath right now. Who here today would say, Pastor Todd, I realize I just need to take a deep breath right now. I just need God to just breathe on me in my life. You'd raise your hand. You'd acknowledge that today. I just want to pray today. Maybe you're experiencing just, I just don't know what to expect in this time. Father, today, I thank you for your people. Lord, I thank you for every person here today. Lord Jesus, I ask you, God, that you would just pour out a refreshing in their hearts and their minds. Lord, I pray, Father God, that we wouldn't try to remove ourselves from those things that are difficult, but Lord, we would ask you, how do we go through it? Some of you right now, God is saying, I'm going to walk with you. I'm walking with you. My hand is with you. Don't jump ship. Don't jump out of that relationship. I pray for some marriages right now. Some of you have been struggling with things. Don't quit. Don't give up. God is with you. Seek help if you need help. Talk to some people, but trust Jesus. Well, there's somebody here today that I just really feel by the moving of the Holy Spirit that you're just here and you're just so stressed out about your financial situation. You're not sure what you're supposed to do. I'm just telling you, God's got it all worked out for you today. Lean into him. Lean into him. He's going to open some doors for you. And it's going to be God, where God gets the glory. You're going to just see that it was the hand of God. Trust him. He's going to take care of things. He's going to provide for you. Lord, I just thank you for everybody here today. I just pray that you would refresh them. I pray that you'd strengthen them. I pray that they would find rest even in this summer season. I pray that you'd bless them in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I hope you're encouraged here today. God is for you. He's not against you. I want to ask one more question. Maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, you're listening online or you're here in this place, and I'm just here to tell you that the key to everything that I talked about is Jesus. It all begins and ends with him. And the way that you find peace in your heart and your life is by surrendering your life to him, giving Jesus the authority, the leadership over your life. If you want to do that today, would you just pray this prayer with me? Can we pray this together as a church? Jesus, I confess that I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me, to free me. Help me to become like you. I thank you for your death, your burial, and resurrection. And I receive your free gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to encourage you to do two things. First of all, let somebody know. Talk to a friend. Talk to a family member. Talk to one of the leaders here. Say, hey, I made that decision today, and so we can celebrate with you. Secondly, would you reach out to us and send us an email at info@eastsidecitychurch.ca so that we can just help you on this journey. God wants to help you grow, mature, to become more like Jesus, and it's a great thing. And so we're excited for you. I'm excited for today. I hope you guys enjoy. I mean, it's a hard thing. Go enjoy the warm weather. It's really warm. Stay safe. Stay cool. Drink lots of fluids, but just enjoy the summer. I believe God's going to do great things. I look forward to our picnic in a couple weeks. I hope we all can join together as well. We have prayer on Monday night from 7 to 8:30. You can find that information at eastsidecitychurch.ca. We'd love to have you join with us. It's been great, and God is just doing great things. So anyways, God bless you. Have a great day, and congratulations again to all of our graduates. God bless you.